Good morning. It is Monday, and this is the morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here hanging out with you, and we are not in the studio this morning. They let us out on the road, and so we are here at Arthur Blank Stream Speak Live Golf Tournament, and we are so excited to be here. We got to be here last year for this wonderful event, and for over two decades, the Arthur Blank M Center for Stuttering Education and Research has been dedicated to changing the world for people who stutter, and so this golf tournament does benefit that. Some remarkable things that they get to do by providing care at no cost to children, teens, and adults who stutter around the globe. So the list goes on, but great tournament for us to be able to be out here today and raising some awareness.
Yeah, love that we get a chance to get out of the studio, man, stretch our legs just a little bit, especially after a crazy weekend that was. I don't know about you guys, but got to hang out with the family, charge the batteries just a little bit this weekend, and hit the ground running. It was a little bit bumpier of a road this weekend than I wanted it to be, obviously, which we'll get into throughout the show. But nonetheless, man, just good weather. Had the parents in town. Got a chance to sit around my dad watching football. So, yeah, man, it's good to be out here and not locked in the studio and getting a chance to hang out.
Did your dad stick around for the race to watch the race yesterday?
No, he didn't, man. They had to head back earlier yesterday because they had a couple things to do back at home back in Pensacola. But, yeah, man, he got to watch some college football. My dad was in the zone watching college football Saturday with me. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets jacked up, man, to crank the grill and throw on his team apparel and everything else. So, good weekend for sure.
Yeah, I had the two TVs set up as normal going on downstairs, and I was like, halftime. And I wasn't expecting Vandy Bama to be good. Mm. Like, I was expecting it to be close for a little bit, but I didn't think it was going to be the game it was. So, my plan was all along to go upstairs, turn on the TV on the porch and the deck and then fire up the Weber. And so now I'm having to have one TV in the house, in the kitchen, where I'm obviously at some too, on the Georgia game. And then the outside TV I had to have on Vandy Bama because that game was coming down to the wire. I was like, why are you doing this to me? Why am I having to multitask and watch two games? I was very impressed with the physicality that Vanderbilt brought. I just could not believe it. I knew that they were tougher this year, but they were as physical as Alabama. And I don't think that Alabama showed up and was like, oh, this is a cakewalk. I think they just got it brought to them.
I agree. And that's something that I think we'll have to dissect. I don't want to go any further. Tiff, the Navy football team's 5-0 now.
Yeah, that I mean, you went into this game knowing that Air Force had lost a lot of players last year. And so you can get into the whole thing with turn back years and all this kind of stuff when you're talking about some of our armed forces schools. But that was a big thing for Air Force and Navy coming into it just as a team that had the experience, a ton of experience, and a heck of a quarterback in Blake Horvath, which our guys were talking about maybe should be up to be a Heisman candidate because he's getting it done in the air and on the ground. So they were a ton of fun to watch, but also to be there for the pageantry and just what this represented for the country as well. The Commander-in-Chief trophy at stake when you're dealing with the Armed Forces schools and just how much this matchup kind of meant to both programs. So that was my first one, and it was pretty cool to be on hand for that.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to see a football game for sure.
Army-Navy are on a collision course right now.
They are. Yeah.
Both teams undefeated for like the first time since like 1952 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but I saw that number in there somewhere.
And Navy hadn't beaten Air Force at Air Force since 2012. So, and I think the last victory I believe was like 2019. I think it was in general. So, but a long time coming for them. And so, yeah, it was a cool matchup to be a part of. But are we really going to bury the lead this morning?
Yeah, you're right. It was a wild day in the NFL.
Oh, really? That's okay.
I'm amazed that, you know, Arizona-San Francisco was wild. You had the Buffalo-the Texans game.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you trying to pivot for me. That's all right. Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I just don't want to talk about the Vanderbilt-Bama game. I don't want to go back to it. So if you want to talk about NFL, let's do it, man.
Well, because
speaking of burying the lead, man, it just it hurts.
And hurt feelings this hour. you know, if you're injured, you can call Morgan & Morgan. That's what this hour is brought to you by. That's who it's brought to you by. So if you're injured, call Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
I think if you're a fan of a team, you probably don't want me picking your team to win. Because I picked Buffalo to win. They lost. I picked Tennessee to roll Arkansas. They lost.
That's a tough one.
I missed the over-under by a half a point yesterday with the Jets-Vikings, which hurt deeply.
We'll get to that, right? Because that's in your Man Up Monday.
Yeah.
So you can, fall on your sword then.
Definitely will. Carolina has come back to earth, and I feel a little bit better about the Panthers coming into this week. I know it's a little early. We're 6 days away. But the Falcons do go to Carolina on Sunday. And they seem, Andy Dalton has come back down to earth. Well, according to Dave Canales, Andy Dalton is still the starter. But I just kind of like the fact that they've come back to earth. So now it's a division game. And you know how, Tiffany, you can talk on this well. Division games are always a lot tougher to play, even if the opponent isn't up to the standards that year, because they know you so well.
That ends up being the case a lot of the times, and the intensity's turned up, everything's turned up, just because it's a division opponent that you see twice a year, and you want nothing more than to beat the brakes off them.
Yeah, it's always going to be a tough game as well, and it's just funny, things start to kind of fall into place over the weekend, and some teams lose, some teams win, some teams look bad. Got a chance to watch football for a long time yesterday with that London game coming on at 9 a.m. And so you got a chance to catch that one out and ride that one all the way out until the Steelers-Cowboys gets the hour and 20-minute rain delay last night and is on TV till, 1 a.m., something like that. So, yeah, man, a lot of puzzle pieces continue to fit in, and Carolina's one of those teams that I thought they were on a better trajectory, and then I think Andy Dalton's the guy, and then he falls back to earth, and Bryce Young comes in and plays relatively well, and a lot of questions for that. It was funny. Dave Canales asked about it afterwards and his thoughts on putting Bryce Young in. He said something like, "Well, we had a couple linemen hurt, so we figured we'd just plug them in." I'm like, "Dude, that doesn't seem fair. You're not going to get protected, but slap some on the button. Get in there, buddy. Let it dig.
Yeah, just don't get killed.
Yeah,
we've already got you. You almost got killed last year and early this season." Go in there and give us the best you got.
We've been talking about making your reads quickly. You better get that pill out. There's a couple of guys down in front of you, man. No protection.
What better time to grow up than now? Better stop seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
You're going to see real defensive linemen. The NFL continues to be every week. There's surprises. I mean, I don't want to crush anybody, but did Deshaun Watson really quit in the middle of a game yesterday?
Seemed like it.
Then I saw questions of if there were 11 or 12 people on the field. You saw that kind of reports coming out as well.
It's just an odd look.
Not a good situation.
I don't know how. First off, shouts out to Washington and Jaden Daniels. They continue to just stay absolutely red hot. Dan Quinn has them at 4-1 in his first season. I remember when he came here, we started 5-0 with Quinn, but he had Matt Ryan and Roddy White and Julio Jones. I mean, it wasn't like he was starting from fresh. This is kind of a brand new template for them at Washington. They've cleared out some defensive players that they moved on from last year. Obviously, a new quarterback. Terry McLaurin is
there. I was
going to
say, you still got him, and that's key when you have a rookie quarterback coming in, because you got a guy with so much experience who actually is beloved there, but beyond that, plays well as well.
Yeah, but he only had 4 catches yesterday, Tiff, for 112 yards.
No big deal. Scary Terry is what,
But Jaden is getting it done with his legs. But the Deshaun Watson stuff continues to be an absolute. And you just had them.
It was just an interesting dynamic. I was there 2 weekends ago, I think it was. It was Raiders Browns, and so our Browns at Raiders. But an interesting dynamic, and just a lot of frustrations when it came to the offensive line, because there were just a number of injuries that they had gone through coming into that game. So shuffling they had to do. So from my vantage point on sidelines, I did see the frustration mount. You did see, and we were able to show it during the game too, Deshaun expressing his frustration at one of his linemen, what appeared to be, I believe it was a missed block. But then you had Jameis kind of coming in and smoothing things over between everybody. And so, which was, an interesting dynamic to watch, because here's your backup quarterback who's come in And everyone, even including Deshaun, couldn't say enough about just the leadership skills that Jameis has. And so, again, I just leave it at just a very interesting dynamic to see your backup quarterback coming in, talking to everybody down the bench after every play. But that's kind of who Jameis is anyway. But he said he made it a point to come in there and to just use his experience to help everybody. But the one thing he also told me in our pregame chat, you know, I asked him about just being in that role of being a backup, which he has been in before. But in his mind, he's still a starter, and he definitely acts like it.
But isn't that a problem, Mike, on a team where the backup is the leader? I mean,
a problem for who?
Well, it's a problem
for
Cleveland.
Watson, for sure. I don't know that it's a problem for Cleveland. I think that's the exact reason they brought him in, because I think they knew exactly what kind of leader Deshaun Watson is. So you decide to bring a guy like Jameis in to have a veteran presence and a guy that can be heard, right? And you bring him in. I think he's done everything that team has needed him to.
The list could go on and on, but we are so happy to be here and be able to at least shed some light, also raise some awareness. If you remember last year, they raised over $400,000 in support of stuttering education and research. So it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, some of the best Atlanta Falcons of all time, some Atlanta United members coming up here to support Arthur Blank. So it's a cool scene for sure.
Yeah, I think there was some we had a few pro golfers in this last year as well. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty fun tournament. Mike and I got to play last year. 92.9
The Game, breaking news.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. We do have breaking news here. This is just coming in. There's a major announcement here on this show.
Really?
There's a new member that's going to be added to the team.
Who?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not me. So just go ahead and get that out of the way. Don't play coy with us, Bo Morgan.
Yeah.
We just want
to
say a big congratulations to you and to Amy on your bundle of joy that is on the way. You guys made the announcement over the weekend, and so we are all thrilled for you guys.
Yeah, we publicly announced that baby Squid is on the way.
Squidlet, because it's a little girl, right?
Yeah, maybe a Squidette.
Squidette. There we go.
This is my Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl day.
I don't understand why
this
Mike
is
so happy.
Because I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I can't wait.
There seems to be a lot of joy in others that I'm having, or I'm not having, but that we're having a girl.
Yes.
It seems to be very.
Yes.
I don't understand. I've had more.
Because you're going to be like big and sappy. You're going to be, you shouldn't have a wrap around your finger. I don't mean to use all the cliches when it comes to like little girls because I don't like all that stuff because, you know, whatever. But it's true. You will be a puddle of mush.
It's absolutely true that she'll have you wrapped around your finger. And look, man, it's always the hardest that fall the furthest because, man, you're going to be in a bad way, dude. You're going to be in a bad, I don't know if I was more stoked that y'all were having a child period or if it was a girl. Like, it was like a toss-up. It was an absolute toss-up, man.
I'm excited for you. Babies in general, you'll be a softer, maybe kinder human being.
Mm. Wow.
And that's what.
Definitely softer. Yeah, that little girl will do that to you. She's going to make you softer.
I don't think that I'm that hard. You guys.
Sorry, I choked. Sorry.
I mean, am I that evil?
No, you're not evil.
Evil's
not a good
word.
You're actually very sensitive, but you can be grumpy.
Mm. Yeah.
So
I can
the
be.
Grumpy aspect of you, I think, might be significantly decreased.
When is the due date? If you don't mind me asking, are you going to put that out there?
It's in April.
April.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll have to look for
some Masters, baby.
A definite version Masters of Bad Mood Bo that we have not seen on some sleepless nights, but that's all right. Man.
Maybe we'll name her Augusta.
Yeah,
Augusta National.
There you go.
Don't do that.
Was it Victor Hovland that I was telling the story about?
Yeah.
On the whole one? Victoria.
No, I know. I appreciate you guys a lot. Talked to both of y'all over the weekend. No, it's exciting. We didn't want to do. Well, first off, I was terrified that my wife was going to make me do one of those gender reveal parties.
Yeah.
Because I think those are just awful. And I don't know. I'm good. But luckily, she didn't have that viewpoint. She was like, no, let's just, because she's not a huge fan of them either. I'm not sure. I don't know what her thought was. Maybe she thought that her husband was too big of a jerk to want to do one.
She might have factored that into consideration.
Oh, we just did a cake, and there's a place in Woodstock that does like the call, it's called like small cakes or something, and they do like cupcakes, and it's a smaller cake, and we put wine glasses in it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people doing that now.
Yeah, and it was so much easier than having a crowd. But
a little bit
shocked.
You look terrified in the video.
Well,
be honest with you, you look terrified. You look like you're scared to look and see what color is in the cake. I was looking for like your facial reaction.
You knew in your heart. You already knew. I felt like you knew in your heart this is going to be a little girl.
Well, I had some people that were wishing it on me. There's a few people that knew.
You said wishing it on me.
My best friend from college has two girls, and they're both athletes. And I told him, he's like, "Oh yeah, you're going to have a girl." He's like, "I hope it's a girl."
Mm.
And I was like, "What? Why?
Same.
Why are you saying that?"
Same.
Like, and he literally, so he knew Friday night before we, and I told him what it was. And randomly, I mean, this is a guy that randomly, he rarely texts. He texts me randomly, he goes, "I'm so pumped you're having a little girl." And I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Everything in your life, your dynamic in your house is just going to change. And I just can't wait to hear about it." And I'm like, are you wishing something on me because there's four people in your house and you're the only male? Like, what is that?"
He wants it to flow through you, man.
So
I
yeah.
think it's awesome, man. But, I think it's awesome. What was your initial reaction when you found out that that Amy was pregnant? I'm curious about that.
Very shocked.
Yeah.
Not that we weren't trying, but I just thought that we were at least a month away.
Dang it, I thought I had more time.
Life comes at you fast.
No. So I was like, "How'd this happen?" And she's like, "Why is that your response?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, I just thought
you
certain
said
things."
How'd this happen?
What? How did she tell you?
She surprised me at home with neutral balloons and a little bear that had the pregnancy test on it.
Well, Bo, I'll tell you, when two people love each other very much.
Thank you, Dylan.
Dylan's going to give you the birds and the bees speech right now.
Yeah, that's no offense, but not the first person I would come to for that speech, Dylan.
I'm cutting my mic off for the rest of the show now.
It's a joyous occasion, and we are taking shots.
Yeah, I'm done talking for the rest of the show now. I'll just press buttons back in.
I don't know if you can recover after that, but
I have a couple more questions. First
of course,
of all,
you do.
How many text messages did you get, or messages period, just to follow up the video once it was posted and everybody found out that y'all were having a child?
Quite a lot. Me and I decided to take Sprinkles on a walk about the time that she was posted on social media. And Siri, I could not listen to music because Siri was in overtime.
Kept interrupting.
In my AirPods. No, that doesn't mean talk, Siri. It was like, "Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson says it. Uncle Beaver says this." I was like, "All right, you know what?" So, and then I just decided to wait till I got done with the walk to respond to everybody because I didn't want to walk into a traffic or a street sign or something.
Also, follow-up question, how has Amy been feeling, and what have you done to kind of comfort her during this extreme physical toll that her body is taking, man?
Wow, you pulled out a few adjectives there.
I'm just checking to make sure you're comforting her. Doesn't strike me as a strong suit, but I don't want to label you before we get there.
It's been the first trimester has been interesting. She's definitely dealt with some of the things that most people deal with, you know, the sickness most women deal with. But I have, you know, been doing what I do best, and that's just being a rock for
her.
For her.
You better have a whole lot of things on deck.
Stoked. I'm so stoked.
You need like my wife is pregnant starter pack.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, dude. No, I've been trying to be sensitive. I've definitely you know, kept any frustrations I've had with other things away from her.
I can see you. One of my good friends, they had their son years ago, and actually Bobby is a friend of the show. He listens, and I remember asking him, you know, "Mandy's in there. She's delivered. I think she had a C-section," and Bobby's like, "Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was just like when I go deer hunting." I envision you being just like that, and
that's not that bad. Just push a little harder.
Be that guy that when he gets home, everybody's like, "How'd it go?" And he's gonna be like, "I didn't sleep real well last night." "Oh, you mean the baby?" Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Maybe I'm like, Is that as hard as you can push?
Oh my gosh.
I think you could do better. I'm not going to do that. Come on, guys.
I know you.
Mike, just for the sake of the show, you're going to be now limited to one question per segment.
Okay. Fair. Okay. We'll start off each segment with us because I got about 20 lined up.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Maybe some people, I was going to say, man, I know you have your manned up segment today, but you guys can tweet Bo some of your advice because he loves the Twitters.
Make sure you tag me in those two and I'll read some good ones.
Hold on a second. Mr. Yo just texts, congratulations, fearless leader. Being a girl dad is awesome. I have 7 boys and 2 girls. Mr. Yeah. Yo, you have 9 kids?
I think he knows what causes that. I think Mr. What causes that.
Congrats to you, sir.
Wow.
All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we will get back to football talk. We got Falcons, Panthers on deck over the weekend. And let's flash back to Georgia taking care of Auburn. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Humility is a week away in our league at all times. And that's the consistency I want to have. We're not going to win all our games all the time. That's not going to happen. You know, I want our fan base to appreciate what we have and give their all and be unbelievable with crowd noise and make energy and just make home games, because we need it to be tough on other teams to play here. But it's not. It's not the same as it's been in the past. It's got to be energetic. It's got to be hard. You know what? It was hot today. It was hot today. It was hot on our players, too. And our players pushed through it. So I'm really proud of this team because I thought it was a tough week, and we answered the bell.
That was Kirby Smart addressing the fans, asking for more after Georgia was able to defeat Auburn 31-13 at home.
Yeah, well, first off, I don't disagree with Kirby. If you know – do you think I know it's not Alabama coming in there, but or Georgia coming into another stadium, but the atmosphere that Alabama had the other night against Georgia is what we've seen at Sanford Stadium in the past. We didn't see it didn't feel that way. Watching that game didn't feel that way. It's still Auburn, and Auburn still, like, I know Auburn has lost some games, but they're a very good team. They just have been a turnover or two away from winning some games, and it's, you know, they've had some inconsistency at quarterback. But Georgia's going to need that when Tennessee rolls in here in the middle of November. You don't think Georgia's not going to need that crowd behind them?
Yeah,
I mean, so I agree with Kirby. I think Kirby's disappointed that he has to say that, because it shouldn't be that we only cheer as loud as we can when we're undefeated. And we know we're a national title, a couple wins away from a national title.
Well, and let me keep the main thing first and foremost. Congratulations to Georgia's football team on a big win over Auburn. I know Auburn's not great. I know that Georgia is a good football team, and you bounce back and you expect them to be hungry. I think that Kirby Smart was just looking for a little more in terms of, the atmosphere. And look, man, you come off a game like you had last week where those guys scratch and claw in the second half, and then you come back and – I know. I mean, look, man, Nick Saban had this exact same conversation at a certain point in his tenure at Alabama where it's like fans are like, well, it's hot, it's daytime. And then, of course, you heard Kirby bounce back with, yeah, it's hot for the players too. It's hot for both teams. So I think that, look, there was a certain point where Nick Saban called out the student section at Alabama. They kind of bounced back and made a good atmosphere for the rest of the year. I look for Georgia fans to kind of do the same. But it's difficult, man. It's just human nature to find complacency in situations like this. And I don't think it's any one person. I don't think it's any one feeling. I think it's just a matter of you're playing an Auburn team that's not very good. There wasn't, like, a lot of splash plays in the game to kind of get the atmosphere going. It was just kind of a, 5 yards at a time football game for both of these offenses, and Georgia pulls away in the end.
Do you think fans are taking that personal?
What do you mean?
Like,
what, Kirby's comments?
Yeah, his comments.
They should. I think they will. I think they'll show up. I think Georgia has a good fan base. There's no doubt about it. I think, they're playing Mississippi State next week, so it's not necessarily like you have a world beater coming in there, but I guarantee they will be loud. They will be there early and loud, and that game will be as loud as it can be until it is well decided, which I don't see Georgia having much issue.
I think Kirby wants them to take it personally, right? I don't think it's the – He said this is one of the first times he's been upset. I would say that he doesn't just come out and say something like this the very first time. I think this is something that probably kind of boiled up and you know, over the course of a couple of games where it's like, well, students are leaving early, or, you know, we don't have the atmosphere, or we don't have the sound. That's at least everything that I've ever seen when it happens like that is one of those things that happens over time. So I think that Kirby wanted him to take it personally. I think there's a reason he said that in the post-game presser.
And he also addressed that. I believe that sound came from DJ Shockley's interview of Fox 5. So, you know, keeping it real.
It's also, let's be honest, too. It's their first real home game this year. They had Tennessee, they were at Mercedes-Benz against Clemson. They came home for Tennessee Tech, but it's Tennessee Tech. And then you went to Kentucky, had a bye week, went to Alabama, and then you come home. So it might be more about the fact that, hey, we need to remember who we are instead of I've been disappointed this year, because you've only had one home game before Saturday. And this fam, yeah, I'm sure there is a little bit of we expect to beat Auburn. They're not very good. I think it's Kirby. Part of this is Kirby remembering what that matchup has been so many years, being a player in that, and maybe not thinking it was to that point. The reality of the situation, though, is as much as Kirby can talk about the fans and the crowd noise and all that, they got issues. They're not very good up front right now, to me, on either side of the ball, to what Georgia's standards have been. And the weapons have been inconsistent that Carson Beck's been inconsistent. So they're not very good offensively. The defense has not been to what it has been. So they're a little bit of you know what, Kirby, you got to look in the mirror, too, at what you're putting out there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Here's what I look at Carson Beck. They're not as explosive as they were a year ago, and we talked about it leading up to the Bama game. We talked about it coming away from the Bama game. Now, they had some explosives, but it just seemed like when you watched Georgia football last year, explosive run, explosive pass play to Brock Bowers, downfield catch to Ladd McConkey. And like I said, it's not that they don't have any of this. It's just fewer and further between, right? So Carson Beck, 23 of 29 for 240. Good line, right? You also had 10 different guys on both teams have targets in this game, which is kind of incredible to talk about as well. It just, you know, this game was tied at halftime. Georgia pulls away in the second half. I don't want to take anything away from them. You know, listen, when we ran the table in 09, we had numerous games like this. You beat Kentucky in 08, 17-14. You beat a bad Tennessee football team under Lane Kiffin on a blocked field goal. It just, sometimes it happens like this, and you have your ups and downs, and the mark of a championship football team is to pull away in the second half, make the needed adjustments, dig deep, and beat a rival like this when you're in your home state.
It's their first regular season loss in almost 4 years. So I'm not trying to say anyone's overreacting or anything like that. I know you want to win this season, and the goal is always to end with a championship. But just if you look at the cumulative body of work of this program, you have to step back for a minute and appreciate what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I think that, you know, we can take Kirby Smart's comments and run with them, or you can look at the positives that happened in Athens on Saturday, and that's that they beat an Auburn team that is a rival. And Lord knows, as an Alabama guy, I know better than most that anytime you play Auburn, a lot of things can happen, right? So that is, you know, I just have to give credit where credit's due to Georgia. They dig deep and get that done, even though it doesn't look the way you expect it to sometimes for Georgia. They're still beating teams. They still beat Kentucky. They still almost beat Alabama, and they still handily beat Auburn. So it is what it is, and I know that team's going to only get better under Kirby Smart.
And that Clemson win is looking better and better because really Clemson is getting better and better. It's like, you have had so much success. This is literally the golden age of Georgia football. There's never been a better stretch than right now. And I'm a guy that his program is down in the dumps, and I'm having to sit here and look at losses and say, hey, I feel better after what Texas A&M did this weekend, that we got beat by them at home, and Miami is coming back from 35 on the road to win games. Feel a lot better about that right now because of where my program's at. Georgia should say, look at our wins and how good those teams are actually playing.
So you look at yourself looking at yourself in the mirror, talking about your program and how things, you know, maybe
myself
have like kind of taken a tumble this year. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Someone else to your right can do a little self-reflection too. We talk about the latest edition of the AP poll that's coming out. A lot of teams have been shuffled around in it. Alabama. Hey, when we come back, we'll break it down for you next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Well, we are out on location here. They let us leave the building. Don't know why they let some people out here, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Mike got here either. You know, I mean, I know that he played in the NFL, but.
Why am I catching strays? You know? I didn't even do anything. I'm just sitting over here. Why am I catching strays?
Well, you were slow to the trigger.
It was just a general like shot that was taken.
Tiffany was talking about me.
I really wasn't. I just tossed it up. Really, I was trying to. Never mind.
That's why.
You know, Tiff, as soon as we get to another break, you and I need to talk about the fact that Bo tried to throw us under the bus during the crossover and be like, "Don't everybody at once."
When he never speaks in the crossover.
He didn't speak either. So I don't know why he's acting like the savior in that.
It was actually quite a stalemate that was going on here because I was like. Not doing it. Let Bo go.
I mean, I'm dealing with a lot in my life right now, Mike.
Is that what it is?
Oh, really?
And I just don't think it's fair that you come at me that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to hit Amy up and be like, what is Bo dealing with right now? She's over there having morning sickness and dealing with all kind of body pains.
It's been really hard on you.
And Bo's, what are you having to do? Listen to her in the middle of the night? Is that what's going on? He's keeping you up?
He's really trying to, he just ran you over and then he threw it in reverse.
Yeah, do you think it's easy on me having to see her go through those things?
Yes, I do.
If you missed it earlier, or if you don't follow Bo on social, he and his wife Amy are expecting a little baby girl in April. So congratulations again to you.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. Thank you, Tiffany. But let me ask you guys a question. You think Chipper makes a good girl name? You know, name her after Chipper Jones?
Well,
or maybe Tebow?
Listen, I was planning on mic'd up giving you parental advice, but can I start with this one? Don't ask anybody else their opinion on names you like.
Don't. I made that mistake once. Someone told me a kid's name.
Don't.
They were just throwing it out. I was like, oh, that's a dumb name.
Yeah.
And then that ended up being their son's name. Okay.
Dude, let me tell you something right now. Whatever name y'all pick out, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like it. It doesn't even matter. You could name her Amy.
I don't.
And people would be like, don't like it.
Yeah. Why would you name her after her?
Amy Jr.
Her mom. No, it would be Amy
the second.
Look, don't ask anyone. Keep it to yourself.
Oh, call her the deuce.
Yeah. Look, it spares Mike's advice is right, and it spares stupid people like me from telling someone that, hey, that's a dumb name, and then
if they don't even respond, you know they don't like the name. You know what I mean?
Well, we were sitting face to face, so this is pretty awkward.
But it's like, I'm like, hey, Mom, we're thinking about naming our kid this, and it's like, oh.
With all due respect, Tiffany, you're the last person I would say, what do you think about this? Because not in a negative way, because you're like,
I don't think it that way.
Because you don't hide.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
You'd be like,
yeah, what an awful one.
Oh, God, I mean,
it's bad.
Okay.
It's bad. Thanks for the call out. Man, I will try to.
There's your good segue.
I'm not good at faking it. I'm sorry.
Neither am I.
You know how I feel about you. You know my thoughts because it's on my face.
It's okay, that's not a bad thing.
All right. Well, we've gone way off topic enough. So let's bring it back to some of the shots that I actually really wanted to take here, because when you're looking at what went on in the college football world over the weekend, it was absolute chaos. Before we get to some of the top ranked teams that have fallen, do want to point out Georgia Tech wins that one 24-14. Georgia State on a bye. Of course, we know that Georgia and Auburn face each other again over the weekend, and Georgia came out on top in that one 31-13.
Tech thing.
Yes.
4-2 now. They got a winnable. I say winnable. They got a game that I think they should handle at North Carolina, and then they hit the gauntlet of Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. They got a bye week. They got to play Miami, and then there's a Thursday game there with NC State. But then Georgia, so their schedule gets really tough.
It gets really tough. Yeah.
But it's cool where Tech's playing Duke, and I'm like, yeah, Tech's got that all day long. I don't even have to worry about it. And
times have changed.
It's just cool where Brent Key has gotten them, and I think Tech fans should be thrilled.
Now
speaking of, you said Georgia State, a team that Georgia State is better than, which is clearly Alabama, had a tough go because Georgia State can beat teams that Alabama can't in 2024.
You know?
Are you really want to get everybody angry?
My alma mater beat Vanderbilt. And then, you know, Vanderbilt tough opponent.
If you're going to do the transitive property, then you got to go one more step and anger the Georgia fans.
That Georgia State's better than Georgia?
There's no Georgia alumni. None of us went to Georgia
There's some people listening.
I'll let Kirby handle the Georgia fans because he's clearly doing a good job of that right now.
He's doing a great job of that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just, I know people, when you talk about the polls, yes, we are waiting for the major poll to come out soon. Well, but we can look at the AP Top 25, which has changed a lot. Did I run through this real fast?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Number one is Texas. 2 Ohio State, 3 Oregon, 4 Penn State, 5 Georgia, 6 Miami. Whoa. What is that? That's 8.
You know,
7?
You hide behind the journalist
7,
facade
Alabama.
So much, and now that I'm down, she's just poking me. You know,
the
I don't
journalist
understand.
Facade.
Yeah, the journalist.
Oh, whoa.
We don't get to talk crap because we're journalists.
Oh.
Journalists.
No, it's called poking fun at someone that is just a coworker. So I can
just
do that.
A coworker.
That's down. So
there's like daggers going all through this segment.
Can I get a word in about the game?
Go right ahead.
Making fun of me.
Go right ahead.
Let me just say this about Vanderbilt.
Let me say this. I pulled that game up, and I had it streaming on my phone because I got alerts. I'm eating pizza, waiting at the airport for a delayed flight, and I said, I gotta see what's happening here. Then it got so out of control. I saw, on the big screen that they had in the restaurant, they're like, we got to put this up. And that's where, but I will stop right there. I'm not happy.
I haven't seen her this happy in a long time. Like, she's
experienced someone else's pain. But, okay, sorry, you have the floor now.
Well,
sorry.
Look, man, and that's where I want to start. First and foremost.
The floor?
This is a...
Is that where you start?
I know Florida fan ain't talking to me. Yeah, let's go ahead and start there if you want to.
Hey, we're not going to lose to Vandy this year. We're not on the schedule.
Let me just listen. Y'all have got to let me give credit to Vanderbilt's football team.
And I want to talk to you too. Yes, go. Sorry.
Am I allowed to do that first? Can I just do that for a second? Vanderbilt is a good football team.
They are. They are very physical. Good quarterback.
This is, I have so many people that are like, well, Bama was hungover, not prepared. None of that's true, dude. I didn't see a hungover football team. I saw a defense that couldn't get off the field and that, ran a ton of snaps in the second half last week and a ton of snaps in the second half this week. I saw an offense that was still operating at a high level, and I saw Vanderbilt absolutely demolish Bama defensively. Now, the turnovers have something to do with it, but when you look at everything that happened in this game this weekend, and Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback who comes in from New Mexico State, this was not like one of those games that just squeaked out of Alabama's hands. They absolutely took it to Bama. This was not one of those like tricky bounce off a helmet. Vanderbilt won this game going away, and you got to start by giving them credit.
I do want to agree with you on that because I had two Vanderbilt, and I think the first one might have been Clark Lee's first year there, but he laid out that was probably the longest production meeting I've ever had. He laid out all of his plans and his vision for the school and how he wanted to see things turn around, having been an alumni or being an alumni. And it was quite fascinating to listen to a coach literally lay out every single step for us in a meeting. And then I had them again last year against Georgia, which they did play well because Georgia had to find a way to dig themselves out of a hole in that matchup. So this is what he laid out, and it's actually really cool to see someone's plans come to fruition, especially at the demise of someone's school here.
Yeah. No, well, I'm glad that that makes you – I just and listening to Clark Lee after the game, and just to get back to it, I think it was – yeah, it was awesome hearing his reaction, hearing his emotion, man. And like you said, I hate that it came at the expense of Alabama because obviously that's my team. But I also love the storylines that come from Clark Lee and the emotion and having a good coach who's put in a very tough situation find success and find a way to have that kind of moment that he'll be able to – I mean, that moment could change that football team for the future. And they're, like I said, they're a good team that does things the right way. Tim Beck, their offensive coordinator, anybody that follows lower-level football knows about Pittsburgh. He was able to do there in the national championships. He's brought that offense all the way with him from Pittsburgh State and has been able to do that with Diego Pavia numerous times against good competition. And they are a hard team to defend.
Tim Beck won't be there next year. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. He'll be coaching somewhere. I don't know if it'll be a huge program, but he'll be in a D1 school next year as a head coach. Diego Pavia has been phenomenal, and the physicality he brings, that little inside zone, the read, the play that they were just gashing. He was gashing Alabama. They out-physicaled him, and that was what Alabama's a physical team that's very fast, and Vanderbilt somehow found a way to match that.
They had an answer for everything.
And that's Ryan Williams was still Ryan Williams.
Yeah.
And Jalen Milroe was not quite Jalen that we saw against Georgia.
He's pretty good.
But he still played well.
Yeah.
But they were able to get after him, and just, you know, the way they attacked Alabama's defense, I was extremely impressed. I'm happy. These guys had two wins last year. Two. The conference is tougher this year, and they're already got three. That's their first win in the conference, and they almost went on the road and beat Missouri. They took that game to overtime.
Let me just address one thing before we go to break. Everybody's saying that this wouldn't have happened under Saban has a very short memory. All right, because this happened very close to happening four times last year. Look at the Auburn game where you're playing a 6-5 Auburn team, all right, and you needed 4th-and-31 to be able to convert that. How about the 26-20 victory over A&M that they ended the year 7-6, or a 2-4 Arkansas team at the time that you beat by 3 points last year? It's not a Kalen DeBoer issue. This is a hats off to Vanderbilt and the program that they've built. And I want to make sure we don't go any further without saying that.
I don't disagree. I think it's easy to go to the, you know, well, the Saban, post-Saban era has finally officially began. I think sometimes this happens. Just like Georgia won 42 straight regular season games, they go on the road, they lose to Alabama, and then they have a ho-hum game, and I say ho-hum because to their standards and their fan base treated it like that was their performance. That's what happens sometimes. Things come back a little bit down. You come down to earth a little bit, but also give Clark Lee, like Tiffany said, give Clark Lee credit for it's his fourth year. He's got his full class is through there, and he's done a good job with some transfers, some NIL. And Diego, is it Pavia or Pavia?
I'm going to get the correct pronunciation in a second, but yeah.
It's Pavia. Was
Pavia. Pavia. Dude wanted to always play in the SEC, had to transfer in, and he's treating every opportunity like it's his Super Bowl. And that's how this team is playing, and that's why they're able to compete, and they're winning, and they might go on the road at Kentucky and beat Kentucky, because I don't see any reason why they can't.
When we come back here on the morning shift, let's go in the huddle, get you some headlines from this past weekend in the NFL. A lot of shakeups there. And also what to look forward to for the Falcons and Panthers ahead this weekend. We'll be right back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rolling along here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting, Clean. We are out on location this morning and are thrilled to be able to be here to be a part of the third annual Dream Speak Live Blake Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. We were able to be on hand for this wonderful event last year and had a lot of incredible people rolling through in order to spread awareness and bring a lot of attention to people who stutter in this world. And so this foundation's done a lot of excellent work, from providing care, pathologists, you name it, at no cost to those in need.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool event. We got to play in it last year. Mike, remind me, didn't he have some of the kids that are part of the foundation on the holes last year?
Yeah, it was really cool.
And you got to talk to some of them. So it's just a great thing, and obviously something that Arthur has struggled with in his life, which you might not know being around him, or if you've ever been around him or heard him speak, but it is something that he has struggled with as well. So it's cool that he's able to reach out and help others.
But who won closest to the pin in this tournament last year? I can't remember.
There's multiple winners because there's multiple par threes that you can do that.
All right. Did you know anybody that won closest to the pin last year?
I did, but I don't mention people's teams that lose to Vanderbilt's on air. So
is that what it is?
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's where
Mike did win closest to the pin last year. I can find a picture of it if you want.
Talk y'all's stuff, man. It's all good.
Dude, let me tell you something. It's been a while since I think a lot of fan bases have been able to.
I didn't say anything now. Is what I'm
saying. Oh, you're talking about this segment.
No, I mean this specific, these last few minutes.
She's taking this segment off.
You know what? I won't drink the haterade. I leave the hateration to you, Mike.
Also, before we get to NFL.
The hateration. Wow. The hateration. Is that like Gatorade or Powerade for haters?
That must be the Gatorade that starts as powder, the hateration. Look, man, before we get any further to NFL stuff, I want all the parenting advice for Bo. All right, so if you have any, hit me up on Twitter on the show account at Morning Shift 929 or 929 Morning Shift at MPJohnson79. Because we're gonna heap it on. We're gonna heap it on for baby squid over here.
We'll really heap it on tomorrow too, because that can be the wake up call tomorrow. Yep. We got a lot of jam packed guests coming up in our show today, so let's save it for tomorrow. So go ahead and either tweet Mike now, or prepare your thoughts, maybe write them down, and remember to call in tomorrow to give your best advice to the soon to be father on this show.
Yep,
Bill Morgan, congratulations again.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I will take your advice, and if I think it meets my standards, I will accept it.
You are going to get angry on Twitter with people about children. It won't even be about sports. I'm like, don't tell me how to be a dad. This is going to be
that's the best part of this whole thing. That's why I'm so excited, because a man that, you know, let's be honest, Bo is a guy that is very
knows everything,
very confident in his opinion. Yeah.
Wow.
And he is about to get absolutely leg swept down to the floor.
Say something.
With his confidence.
Tiffany.
It will waver.
She definitely.
You guys haven't come at me. I have.
She's ready to go at people. Both barrels over here.
You know, I channel it inside, and then I save it for now.
You should save less and let more out, apparently.
You know, so it just been, you know, depends on how I'm feeling. Hey, let's go in the huddle. This should probably be a fun lead-in to whenever we get to the Man Up segment, because I'm going to read off some scores that you guys were probably wrong about when you made your picks going into the weekend. So let's just go flashback real fast to the most recent game, which was Monday Night Football, which was in a crazy – or Sunday Night Football, because today is Monday, which is within a crazy weather delay. Delayed that game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers by 2 hours, but Dallas found a way to come back in this one and win 20-17, despite some turmoil on the sidelines. I don't know if you guys saw that between CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott after an interception.
What do you think he said?
I couldn't.
He said something about a 50-50 ball or a jump ball, but I couldn't tell exactly what he was saying. I just know that Dak wasn't looking at him and didn't want to hear it.
Some people were saying he said subpar throw. But I don't know if that's what he said.
I don't think that that's
what he said. I don't think that's what he said either. But I saw that circulating around. I was like, I don't think that would be – not saying that's not in his, you know, vernacular, but I just can't see someone in the middle of a game, but that's subpar,
that's
bro.
Subpar,
like,
bro.
No one's going to say that.
Yeah, I don't think he said that either. But he definitely wasn't happy either way.
He was not.
Dak finishes the game 29-42 for 352. So.
Did he think Dak was happy, though? Like, you can't throw – you got to be careful showing up your teammates. I think there's moments emotional, but I also think there's other times where you need to kind of understand the situation. You're all trying to – not like Dak was trying to throw an interception, right? And he's been pretty good. He's helped CeeDee Lamb get paid pretty well. And CeeDee Lamb's helped himself get paid pretty well. But Pittsburgh now has lost two straight. And I know that, you know, Justin Fields wasn't I don't think he was necessarily bad in the game. He was 15-27 for 131 and kind of protected the football, but now you're starting to open the door, because their offense has not really been prolific. They have been doing just enough to win games. They're no longer doing that.
They are no longer doing that. Hey, this one also was a later game yesterday. It was the Packers and the Rams that score 24-19. So Jordan Love throwing a pair of touchdown passes in the second half and rallied them back to win. Bounce around here. Let me go to the NFC South because that's what we have coming up next with the Falcons and Panthers. And the Panthers, they face the Chicago Bears on the road. They lost 36-10, but we did see a combination in that game of Andy Dalton first and then Bryce Young coming into the game. And right when he stepped in, he threw a heck of a pass.
And he did a nice job, and he played within the system, and he got the ball out. That team just seems like it's missing something from the top down. I got to be honest. When he came out of the game, he was like, no, you know, we're not making a change at the quarterback position, this, that, and the other. I was like, ah, man, because, like, I just – it's not that I want Bryce Young to start. I just think they're not as good of a version with Bryce Young at the helm, even though he played well for his five throws or so yesterday at the end of the game. I just think that they're less explosive with him in there.
Well, I think – if you look at how the foul defense, and it plays to your point where I would much rather see Bryce Young as well, and mainly for the fact that I think Andy Dalton is savvy enough and a smart enough a quarterback to say, I've watched him on film, they're going to play off, they're going to give up the underneath stuff. If I can get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yards, we'll keep moving the chains, and our offense, it'll give us a chance. So I wonder how the Falcons continue to try to this defense continues to get better and kind of progress. And if they stop doing some of that stuff or take away some of that stuff for him, or if not, it could be a decent day for Andy Dalton.
Let me just say this before we move on: the thought of Caleb Williams throwing to DJ Moore against Carolina has got to make Carolina fans sick. Like the fact that you traded him and that number one pick that netted them Caleb Williams, and now they're just routing you in a game where they obviously are on the upswing, that has to suck.
There's a lot of trades that are probably weighing heavily on some teams this season and what they gave up and what they're getting now. Okay, since we're saying NFC South, tonight is Monday Night Football, and you have the Saints against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I really hope the Chiefs are 5-0 to start the season. it helps Atlanta, and it and because that would knock the Saints at 2-3.
Saints at 2-2, yeah, 2-2 going into this.
I think it. You know, look, you got to play the Saints soon too. I think we play them maybe November 2nd. Is that maybe or third?
Week after Dallas.
It's around that time frame. The schedule. The Falcons need to get this done this week because you would go 4-2 into a Seattle team coming in here, which is they're going to be playing a Thursday night game, so they're going to have the mini bye. Then you play the Cowboys. It just does not. Then Tampa. Then the Saints. So the schedule continues to stay tough. You know, and that's why, again, I want to bring it up because it irritates the hell out of me in the off season when I hear people say, oh, easiest schedule in the NFL the Falcons have. When the heck has this been scheduled been easy at all, okay? And we don't know what we're getting this week. It's never easy in the NFL, and it definitely has not been easy for an NFL schedule.
That was In the Huddle. Up next, we have a Mic'd Up.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about college football and the crazy weekend that was. We haven't even had a chance to get to some of the other upsets that happened, what the new polls look like, some more of my Bammer misery if you want to waller in that with me. And we'll also have a little bit of parenting advice for Bo announces over the weekend. They're expecting baby girl Squid to be arriving sometime this spring. You don't want to miss my advice for Bo coming up on the other side in Mic'd Up. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We are back here on the Morning Shift, rolling along as we get to be a part of a really fantastic event here at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And we were able to be on hand for this event last year, which raised over $400,000 in support of the Arthur M. Blank Center for Stuttering Education and Research. So just phenomenal work they do here for people who do stutter. And it is life-changing work that this tournament is able to help as they help the Blank Center for Stuttering Foundation.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day out here for golf, Tiff, you can already tell. And the weather looks pretty good for the next week or so. And it looks like the temperature is dropping a little bit, so we're in the middle of fall. Get out there and swing the sticks if you can.
Yeah, this lady's been swimming for like 15 minutes in a row with nonstop out here and swimming in the lap pool. It's I've been keeping a monitor on it and
You're always, a lifeguard?
Pretty impressive.
You are always good for a random comment on the
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
You're that neighbor that's always staring out the window.
I keep an eye on the I keep a high eye on the homestead. I mean, I'm not afraid.
I'm sure you do.
If there's a weird car, if I don't notice a car that goes by, I might walk outside and see where it went. Mm.
Hey, what's happening here?
Don't be coming and don't be a stranger in my street.
Excuse me, sir. Can I help you find something?
Yeah. Are you from around here?
You that neighbor? You come out and then I'm flooring it to get into my garage and close it.
No, because I don't want that either.
You don't want the conversation.
No, I don't want the conversation either. I just want if you don't belong on this street, just keep it moving.
Just keep it.
Yeah. I've had to get used to, you know, like Amazon drivers not in Amazon trucks, or the Uber Eats are the hardest, because I'll be at a game or on the road and Amy like order breakfast. I'm like, I'll text her. Who's at the door? Why is the Ring doorbell going off?
You have a lot of questions, just like a lot of people had a lot of questions after Saturday and what went down in the college football world. A lot of shakeup. So, of course, the polls are going to be looking a lot different. We'll just name a couple of the shakeups that went down here. Vanderbilt beat number one Alabama at home 40-35. Arkansas beat number four Tennessee at home 19-14. Number 25 ranked Texas A&M beat number 9 Missouri at home 41-10. Washington beat number 10 Michigan at home 27-17. Minnesota beat number 11 USC at home 24-17. And SMU beat 22nd ranked Louisville on the road 34-27. It was absolute chaos on Saturday.
Yeah, and it was a day that I was told, hey, if you want to do something, go do it, because the games aren't that great, and they turned out to be phenomenal. Sam Pittman, I think, has secured his job. If he can win a couple, you know, get about three more wins out of their schedule, I think he's secured himself another year.
He's a good dude.
He is a great human being, Tiffany. You're so right there, and it's good to see. I'm happy for him, because look, I want to see Sam Pittman succeed. I don't mind seeing Arkansas up. I'm not a Tennessee guy. I never have been. I'm not a huge fan. Their schedule doesn't get much easier. They have LSU. They do get a Miss State. But they've got Mississippi, Texas, and Missouri still all on their schedule. But now 6-7 wins doesn't seem so far out of the realm of possibility, which I think will give him a 6-year there. I picked Tennessee to win that game easily. When I realized Tennessee wasn't going to cover, I put all my chips in the Arkansas basket.
Yeah. And look, man, you look at all these games. First and foremost, Vanderbilt, obviously the most shocking for a number of different reasons. But when you look at the actual on-field product, I think I'm actually just as shocked as the Tennessee loss. That was a Tennessee team that I really thought would challenge for an SEC title game, and I think they still will. And they still have to play Georgia and Bama coming up in the next few weeks. But they are a team that I thought pulled away for good, and then I turned the TV off, and then I turned it on. You know, 10 minutes later, and Arkansas is pulling ahead. So it just hats off to a number of these teams that it felt like you didn't know what you were getting in the SEC, and yet they're able to make their mark this past weekend.
I feel like we went from saying there's going to be 3-4 easily SEC teams in the playoff to saying, I don't know if Tennessee's going to make it now. I don't know if Ole Miss is going to make it now. Now you go look at where there are three Big Ten teams in the top five. Now it's an odd-looking three teams, whereas Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. However, now the Big Ten looks like the team that might get more in there. To me, Texas A&M, how the hell did Texas A&M lose to Notre Dame at home? I know that Wegman got injured in that game, but they look so – Notre Dame physically took it to Texas A&M in that game. A&M looks worlds different than they did on opening night.
Yeah, were you confused, head spinning a little bit, didn't know what time it was? Welcome to fatherhood. Let's hit them mic'd up. And shout out to everybody that's been weighing in on the socials, giving Bo some pieces of advice. As far as fatherhood goes, man, first of all, we'll start with Larry in the truck. Life as you know it will be drastically different. Number one, forget about sleep. Number two, everything you do will be questioned. I can confirm the second part of that. Everything you do will be questioned down to the very last drop of anything you try to give your kid. You know, and I'm talking about toys too. iPads, screens, restaurant activities, crayons, it will all be questioned. There's no doubt about it. Brandon Mincy weighing in saying, give yourself grace. There is no exact manual. All kids are different. Know that you are giving your best, Bo. Get ready to become a big softy, especially for movies and shows about dads and daughters. Does that one hit home for you? Are you ready for that? The emotional roller coaster that might come along with movies now?
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm already very in touch with my feelings. So
is it?
What is the expression? I don't know. Loud bark or whatever. Whatever it is.
Are you trying to call me a chihuahua?
No, I mean, yes.
Tiffany, are you saying he's all bark, no bite? Is that what you're looking
thank
for?
You.
All bark, no bite?
Plenty
of bite in this
That's
dog,
That's the expression.
All
right? No, you're plenty. Already very sensitive. Actually, you both are very sensitive.
Well, who? Maybe that's the yeah.
On the,
maybe
yeah,
that's the case.
Both, yeah.
Maybe that's
him?
The case.
Both of you are. I'm saying so.
Me
like
and
you're
Amy
are.
Or him?
No, you oh. and Mike are sensitive.
Oh, Mike's a huge softie.
Maybe you're just. Maybe you're just cold.
No, that, I didn't say. I don't know if cold is the word.
No.
Tell you what.
I don't know. If cold
let me go to Shaka Zulu.
I want
to
step back from whatever.
Child,
but you will be sappy, is what I'm saying.
The next tweet: childhood is a very short season. Enjoy every moment, even the terrible twos, threes, fours, and fives. Good luck and congrats. That's from Shaka Zulu Nicholas on Twitter as well. Number one's other point. And here's what I'll say, Daddy. I want you to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. All right. I want you to listen to me. All right. You ready? Lean in. All right, this child, Bo, is moving in with you, okay? I want you to remember that no matter
so
what
it's
happens.
It's still my house.
This child is
That's
moving
right.
in with
no,
you.
It's not, no, it's not anymore.
Yeah, no, this child is moving in with you, and here's my point. And this is real now. This is from the bottom of my heart. You focus on your marriage just as much as you focus on your parenting, all right? Because the stronger that household is, the better off that kid is going to be. All right, and there's my softy. There's my softy input. Day-Day's giving me the thumbs up. Day-Day, am I not speaking from the heart here, man?
Yeah, well spoken.
Yeah,
well
do you have any advice for Bo that we need to get to?
I would just say nothing is no longer yours. Nothing is no longer yours.
That truck you like to keep clean? No, that back will have animal crackers sitting all through it, man. You know what I mean? It's a new age.
Let me ask you
this. It's going to be an exciting one, that's for sure, man.
Lex on Twitter just told me that I don't need to buy a bassinet. He says whip out my igloo or the Coleman cooler, and I pop the lid, and that'll be – so I can just put the baby in the Yeti?
I think that's fine. I think that's fine. You just need to, you know, make sure you put, like, some kind of tape or something on the lid so it doesn't accidentally
shut. Sounded very Paulding County of you. You say it. I'm not coming at you, PC folks, but Bo always says that.
Oh, man. Dave Ashburn just texted me and said, great advice, man. It is. Look, man, you know what else? Here's another piece of advice. Dave, give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Screw all the other advice. All right? There is no good piece of advice when it comes to parenting, man. It is you just freestyle it, and you hope you survive to see the other side, my friend. But, again, congratulations to you and Amy. We're all excited.
You know what? I have a piece of advice.
Oh, do tell.
I'm kidless, but I have parents. And
I've seen this done before.
They let me be myself. So I encourage you to let your child be their full self to the maximum extent.
I have no problem letting my kid be themselves as long as they're not an idiot.
Well, evidently your parents let you be yourself. All right, so good for you. Good for you. All right.
All right. Well, speaking of manning up, when we come back here, that's what these guys are about to do because they made some good and probably some bad picks over the weekend.
Lots of bad for me.
So when we come back, that's what we've got in store for you. Next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We are live out on location from the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And we were on hand for this event last year, which does a lot of incredible work in support of Arthur M. Blank Center for Stuttering Education and Research and its programs. Last year, they raised over $400,000 in support of the center. So it's just remarkable what they're doing for people who stutter, offering support, pathologists, you name it, at free of charge. So they're changing lives.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a good event.
Yeah, we got to play in it last year. It was really cool. They had the kids out here. They did last year at each hole, kind of talking about, you know, you get to talk to them and see how things have helped them. So it's great. It's just one of the many things that Arthur Blank and his and the organizations put, you know, give back to the community. So, anyways. Dylan, let's go ahead and go into and let's man up today. It was not a good week, Tiffany, for me. real quick, I know that this is not what Dylan has as my worst, but I think it's a really, really bad beat when I picked the over-under at 40.5 on the Jets-Vikings game. It literally hits at 40, and Aaron Rodgers throws a terrible interception, which not only costs the Jets a game, but it cost me the game.
And anyone that listened to you, you should apologize.
Anyone actually took my advice. And if you did, well,
somebody,
that's your fault.
I had a stat on the Falcons pregame the other night about the under was 13-0 the last 13 times the Falcons were in primetime. And I had a guy tweet me back after that game that was so angry with me that I would give out that advice. And he was like, "You just never know gambling." I was like, "Buddy, trust me, I get that, okay? I appreciate you. You let me know on the Twitters that gambling is gambling, but I think I already knew that gambling might actually be gambling for a reason."
You're taking a risk.
It always cracks me up. I'm like, I just literally threw that in as part of the stats for the game. That the under. I mean, that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Until the other night, the Falcons were 13-0 for the under in the last 13 primetime games going back to 2017. So it is. It's always a risk when you do it, and –
But that's not on you. You gave a stat.
Oh,
just
I know.
Like,
trust me.
I heard someone in the city give a stat on Thursday saying, well, you know, because there was an over-under on Kirk Cousins' passing yards at 230 or something. And someone was like, oh, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I doubt that'll happen.
And he tweeted me back, goes, how'd that go for you and your followers?
Yeah, and he threw – yeah. So, I mean
– Well, I hope they don't listen to me. That's why we put our man up segment out there.
Yeah, you guys
are advertising that you're experts.
No,
I've never said I'm an expert. I might have told you to go see your bookie and tell him I sent you once or twice when I gave a pick. But like I did, my worst beat was Tennessee at Arkansas. Here is what I said, and then afterwards I'm going to tell you how I handled watching the game.
I'm taking the bait.
No.
Tennessee's going on the road at Arkansas.
No.
I'm taking Tennessee to cover the 13.5. I'm telling you, their defense is better than I thought. Their offense is phenomenal. Nico
Iamaliava.
He's so good, I don't have to say his last name because you know who I'm talking about. He's going to go in there and roll.
Yeah.
They get it done.
Yes.
They get the bait.
Yeah.
Making you money.
It's a trap.
Well. That pretty much sums that up.
No bueno. Yeah. And you hear me in the background. No, no.
So here's what I did.
Arkansas.
Here's what I did. Watching the game with the neighbors, I realized that Tennessee is not going to cover. And I turned heel on them. I went straight Arkansas fan. And I hate Tennessee anyways. I've never been a Tennessee fan. I'm sorry, Tennessee fans. Never been a volunteer guy.
Oh, man.
It was hard enough picking you guys to win and cover, but once you told me that you were useless to me, I kicked you to the curb and went straight Arkansas.
You'll be cheering for them in a couple weeks when they play Georgia and Bama, so don't get all
no, just one of those
it.
Teams.
All right, my
actually,
bad one.
I'll pull for both those teams.
My bad one, Dylan, was actually a 1.5-point spread as far as I have it. I had Buffalo, who was honestly – Buffalo has been one of my Super Bowl favorites since before the year. I love everything they've been able to do. I had Buffalo beating Houston by the spread. Let's hear what I had to say Friday.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills -1 on the road. Everything in me kind of tells me to lean Houston. The fact that Buffalo is a good football team, but Houston will be at home in this one. I just feel like this is a little bit of a get-back game for Buffalo. Buffalo is one of my Super Bowl favorites when you look at this season, especially when you see how that division's kind of shaped up. I love what Houston has going on, but to me, Buffalo just one step ahead. That one-point line, very, very fishy, but it just means that Buffalo has to go out and win, and I think they will this weekend.
It's false. No way. Yeah. Not this time.
Buffalo.
Can I be nice for a minute?
59-yard field goal as time expires.
Yeah, but they were down 20-3.
I'm trying to be nice for just a second.
Okay.
I I'm not mad at Mike for that pick. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at even how he sold it on Friday.
Yeah.
He didn't. He sold it in a calm fashion. It wasn't in the way that Bo maybe likes to sell things, which makes you kind of fall harder when you're wrong.
Yeah.
So Mike kind of gently.
I said, dude, I know.
It's like a thud. It's a thud. That's
Josh Allen, 9 of 30 for 131. 9 of 30 for 131.
Some of the throws were errant, and you always have to ask yourself, were the throws bad? Were the routes bad? Were both? I have to believe that there was miscommunications between he and the receivers, along with just some errant throws. I will tell you, though, Tiff, we had to pick that game together, and I flim-flammed the entire time about picking the game as I was picking the game, and then finally went to Buffalo, which I wish I had picked. I wish I had just Riverside and picked the Texans.
Yeah, let me read off some of these targets and receptions. 5 targets on Keon Coleman, 1 reception. 6 targets at Dalton Kincaid, 2 receptions. 6 targets at Matt Collins, 2 receptions. That is going to lose you a football game, and that is going to make you not one of my Super Bowl favorites, which they are not anymore. So I learned my lesson. So it is what it is.
That's right. But I did get one right. I'm glad I did. I was 1-3. Dylan, tell me what I said about the A&M Mizzou game.
Missouri has not passed the eye test for me yet, and I've put money on them before this year. I'm not this week. Give me A&M and covering the 2.5.
Come on, man. That's too easy.
Yeah.
You gosh darn right it was easy. Never in doubt. Not once. I even turned it off at one point. It was just such a done deal. They absolutely.
Yeah. It was a drumming.
Boat race, Mizzou.
It was a drumming. I actually hit that one too. I liked that pick. I remember backing you up going, nope, you're making the right pick on that one. You said that you were like, don't tell me that I'm making the wrong pick. I was like, no, you're not. That's a good one. And then Dylan, let's finish up with my good one. And you just knew both of these offenses were not going to be good.
How about the Miami versus New England under 36.5?
I looked at this and I was scared away from it.
Golly, both of those offenses are bad. I know 36.5 is a low number, and it seems like a trap in a number of ways. You just know that Mike McDaniel is going to have somewhat of a better game plan this week. And I know that New England's got a scrappy defense, though. I'm going to say the under of the Miami-New England game, 36.5 this weekend.
This mother don't miss.
No, he's
he don't good.
That mother don't miss, man.
2-2 on the weekend, feeling good about it. I hit that one by 10-plus points, maybe 11 points. I don't even remember what it was, but it didn't seem like that one was ever in doubt, so I felt good about that lot.
So you lost this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted you to.
I was bad this weekend.
Pull that mirror
out. In my defense, I was a half a point away from literally going the exact same thing as him. I had that Jets-Vikings game pretty figured out. If Aaron Rodgers would have got his head out of his butt and played, I don't know what. Do you think?
Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
I know you're going to disagree. I know you're going to disagree with me, I think, or both of you might. But I know how weird of a dude Aaron Rodgers is and how competitive of a human being he is. Do you think any part of him saw Kirk Cousins go off for 500 yards on Thursday night with less time to recover on his Achilles than Rodgers did, and a little part of him go, yeah, I need to go out there and just go off and show that I'm the best quarterback coming off an Achilles injury, and he just kind of
– I don't think so.
I would hope that he played better than that if that was a thought process.
I mean, because my point is he forced a few throws yesterday.
A couple picks in the first quarter, yeah.
Yeah, and one of those was just – Aaron, just don't throw it.
I'll give them credit for climbing back in the game. I thought that game was over earlier, and then they climbed back in it. And so hats off to them. But I'm not sure Minnesota's not the best team in the NFL. And I know I said that a minute ago about, I said that last week about Buffalo. The Ravens are going to be right there. There's a number of other good teams, but man, Minnesota just seems like they are good
I'm
everywhere.
All for the Sam Darnold redemption mm-hmm. story.
Yep. Well, How about the defense and how the defense is not they're playing opportunistic. Was it Van Ginkel has two yep. pick sixes, both against teams that play in Jersey, the Giants and the Jets. I was looking at a stat and they're like the yards they give up is seems massive. But the reality of the situation is passing yards anyways. But the reality of the situation is they've been playing with leads all year. I think they've only trailed like 5 minutes the entire season or something.
They asked Van Ginkle after the game about Aaron Rodgers, and he said that Aaron Rodgers told him, Christmas came early for you. Van Ginkle looked back at him and said, thank you.
Yeah, it was.
That's it. Yeah. He should have said ho, ho, ho. That's what he should have said. Yeah. Hey, we've been telling you all morning on this entire show. We've been out here at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And so that means we've got some guests joining us on the other side. We've got Christian Bezuidenho coming here to talk to us. He's a PGA golfer. You'd probably know that name. And we've got Brad Kazan as well a little bit later on in the show. Atlanta United keeper. Yes, you are correct. Stay with us here on the morning shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And as we discussed with you before, we are thrilled to be out here at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And again, last year, this incredible event raised over $400,000 in support of the Arthur M. Blank Center for Stuttering Education and Research. And we are so happy to have with us again this year, because you joined us last year, Christian Bezuidenho, back with us, PGA Tour golfer. You, of course, have made a name for yourself on the DP World Tour as well. And it's just great to see you this morning.
Dude, you had a great year, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me again, and thanks a lot for being here again. Yeah.
Dude, how was the Olympics? That had to be awesome to get to go down there and play.
Yeah, it was a great week. It always is. It was my second one. The first one I played was still COVID, so there wasn't a lot of fans out. It was a different vibe, but this year in France, it was incredible. It was like 40,000 to 50,000 people a day, loud. It was really cool.
Well, not only did you have a great year on the PGA Tour, top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings, but also, correct me if I'm wrong, last year you were with us. I want to say that you told us you were expecting fatherhood. Talk to us a little bit. We just announced today that this guy is now expecting his first man.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We're excited on the show.
Well.
How's the first year been with fatherhood?
Yeah. I mean, it's busy, but great. He's been on the road with us for 90% of the time. He's an easy traveler.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've actually expected it to be much harder than what it is or what it was so far. But
good for you.
he's been fitting in great. He's an easy traveler, and the PGA Tour also provides us with daycare every week, so he goes to school, goes to creche 4 days a week.
No kidding.
On tour, so he loves it. We love it. So
you hear that, Bo? All you gotta do is get PGA Tour.
Your baby needs some stamps on their passport. You've got to catch
said,
up.
But see, here's what I'm worried about. He said he. So he had a boy. I'm having a girl, and we all know that girls are high maintenance. So I'm a little worried.
Okay, we're gonna press pause on that. We'll circle back to that.
It is true.
I want to keep my job, so I won't address it on air. But we'll talk about it during the break. Let's get back to Christian and why you are here at this amazing event that you've had an impact in for a few years now. Yeah. And so, how special is it to you to be able to impact and help those who are also dealing with stuttering?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a close to my heart for my whole life now, and it's just so nice to give back to share my story with kids and to people around the world. How I've dealt with it over the last 20-25 years in my life, coming from a small town in South Africa with very limited resources and growing up, and just to be here with a blank center and to share my story and to help people to educate people around the world about stuttering and what it is and what's it about and how to deal with it. It's a special cause and something that's close to me and my family.
Yeah, you've been so inspirational to so many people. And for those of you who aren't familiar, could you share a little bit more about your story?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a small town in South Africa. Like I said, very limited resources, and always thought that I had an accident when I was 2-3 years old. Accidentally drank rat poison in a supermarket where we were. There was a Coke bottle standing in the corner with rat poison in, and I accidentally drank that, and because of that, I was in hospital, nearly died from that. And then fast forward 3-4 years later, my parents realized that the stuttering that I had, and it was so severe that I just backed away from everything. Withdrew myself from every social environment, at my house, at school, at the golf course. I never did public speaking, never answered a cell phone, or never answered the telephone at home, never spoke to anybody, because I was ashamed of the stuttering that I had. And then we ended up going to numerous psychologists, doctors, all around South Africa, driving around, flying around, to try to get to the bottom of what caused it. And everybody there told me that the rat poison that I drank when I was 30 years old, yeah, affected my nerve system, and that's why I have the stutter. Mm. And they made me believe that, and yeah, I mean, we went to doctors, and everybody made me believe that it's curable and it will go away when you grow up and when you get over it. And yeah, and it never did. And when I joined Dr. Bird in the Blank Center, I just educated myself on stuttering, and they educated me, and we actually found out that stuttering is a generic thing, and it's not curable.
It's not, yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I lived for 25 years, thought it was curable, that it's going to go away, and yeah, we found out four years ago through Dr. Bird and her research that's all the work she's done with the Blank Center, that it's not curable and it's a genetic thing. And yeah, so.
But your story is just incredible, for you to be able to be front facing and then shed a light and also show that you can still do anything, right? So I think your story is just so amazing. It resonates with so many people.
Yeah, you're able to give back now, but you were impacted early in your life by someone, another golfer from South Africa, and Ernie Els. Yep. And I know the Big East has been a huge part of your career and your life. You know, how important has he been to you as you've progressed through your career?
Yeah, massively. Like I said, I was part of his foundation in South Africa from a young age, from 14 years old. He's helped me tremendously in my career of building a pathway for me to eventually play on the PGA Tour. He's helped me massively financially growing up to play tournaments all around the world. Yeah, he's been a huge influence in my life and in my family's life. And I would never have enough words to thank him for what he's done over the last 15 years for me. And even now, my wife and I came to America 5 years ago, and he said, just come stay with us for a couple of weeks and
that's awesome.
And find your feet. And 2 years later, we moved out. So it was supposed to be a 2-week visits to just see find our feet, and yeah, it took us 2 years to move out. So.
I don't want to bring up any bad memories for anybody, but you know, somebody sitting in this room won closest to the pin at this tournament last year, and somebody didn't. And the prize for that actually was an Ernie Els signed pin flag, which I proudly display at my house, man. So shout out to Ernie for that as well. And I know, like, the look on your face when I approached to get that flag last year, you were like, dude, you told me you sucked at golf. But I want to talk real quick, first of all, your thoughts on golf in the city of Atlanta, because obviously you spend some time here. I mean, East Lake, and this is the second year in a row we've seen you here. Thoughts around about the golf courses around here that you've played, because I think obviously there's a lot of passion with the people listening right now about golf in this area.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great golf courses in America, but in Atlanta itself, I remember my first time here was to play in the U.S. Amateur. I think it was in 2014-15 maybe. We played at Atlanta Athletic Club.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
That hosted the PGA Championship. I think it was 2009 or 10 or
it's
8.
It's been too long ago, yeah. I'd say then.
Right.
A long time ago, yeah. That was my first time, yeah, and then obviously playing East Lake, playing Capital City, play Atlanta Country Club. I mean, there's so many special golf courses here, and yeah, it's great.
Good tracks.
It's awesome. It's great to have you again join us this morning, and just to see the work that you've been able to do. Incredible, Christian. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Awesome, man.
Thanks a lot for having me again.
Hit him straight today. I know I didn't need to tell you that.
Thank you.
That was Christian Bezaden, PGA Tour golfer, who is out here helping to make an impact with our big event today with the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. Up next, we've got Atlanta United goalkeeper Brad Kazan. He will be sitting right next to us on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. We are out on location. They let us leave the building at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And we are proud to have join us this morning, Brad Kazan, goalkeeper for the Atlanta United here, coming off a big win over the Red Bulls over this weekend that has kept you guys alive in the playoff hunt. So happy to have you here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
What does it mean to you, first of all? We'll get to the soccer stuff, the MLS stuff, but to be able to be here to make an impact in an event that's changing the lives of people who are stuttering.
For sure. I mean, the growth of this organization has been tremendous over the years, and to see the work that they do for so many individuals around the communities, it's a tremendous honor to be a part of this event. You know, I was lucky enough to be here for year one, and to see the impact from year one to where it is now. Now, and like I said, the growth of it's been unbelievable.
Now, Brad, I think it's Brooks Lennon we talked to a lot, and he's a golfer.
Yeah.
He's a big golfer. Now, who between you and Brooks, who's the better golfer?
Listen, if we're gonna get straight into it,
we're going straight into it. That's what I want to do. I want to get in the weeds.
I'm gonna be honest here. Okay, we're gonna talk about the game, and he's probably a better golfer. Obviously, I look the part. Okay, I look
that's
better.
That's what's more important.
Absolutely, it's not about the scores. Listen, today we're playing in a group. It's not about individual performance. It's about a group. But listen, with four kids, I definitely don't have the amount of free time that he's got. And so I think he takes the advantage probably on the course.
But you got the height and the length. And you guys that are taller and longer, tell you what, that you guys hit it further. It just seems like it's the easier game for y'all to play than us short people.
I'm glad you acknowledge that you're short.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love the fact that you I mean, listen, there's nothing easy about the game of
golf. Oh, I know. Trust me. I shot a triple-digit score yesterday, so I'm well aware.
No judgment. But... No judgment from this side.
I wasn't even going to get it. So and today we announced my friend Bo, he and his wife are expecting their first one. Now, okay. I think you guys have – what do you have, four?
We did four, yeah.
Oh,
four.
You guys are playing zone coverage, aren't you?
I've got two.
Yep.
I was trying to give him advice earlier in the show. If you have any, I'd love to hear it. My advice to him was – the kid is moving in with you because it's the first one, right? The marriage is still very, very important.
Right. For sure. For sure.
So
absolutely. I would agree with that. I mean, listen, for number one, things are going to carry on. There'll be a little bit of a hiccup here and there, and that's okay. And you're going to think, oh, we got to get back to normal life. Well, normal life is no longer. So just prepare for that part of it.
Yes, dude. So true. I want to talk a little bit about Saturday night because I'm watching the second half. I'm a Bama guy, so I watched Bama lose, and I was like, done with college football for the day. I'm going to watch the United match tonight. The second half, obviously, them playing down a man Just talk about the effort that you guys gave in the second half and on Tyler Wolf's run to close that. I know they had a couple of the offsides calls that help out down the stretch. I was out of breath watching the second half, but obviously you keep playoff hopes alive Saturday night.
For sure. That was the most important thing. And listen, when you look back at the game, obviously we'll look back at the tape and review the game. And there's certainly moments in that game, especially in the second half, where it's not easy for us. And we didn't do a good enough job of seeing out the game and closing out the game. And so we need to get better, certainly, in those moments. But at the end of the day, at this point in the season where we are with now one game left, the result is all that mattered. And to be able to come away with 3 points and give ourselves a somewhat of a fighting chance going into the last game of the season, that's all we could have asked for.
Yeah.
See, the four kids is why you're a good goalkeeper.
That is so true.
You brought up the last game of the season against Orlando. I know that's always kind of a heated matchup, too. What's the conversation or the focus? What does that need to be as you guys have a little bit of a break before you go into that matchup on October 19th?
Everything's at stake, right, in terms of the performance, in terms of obviously the result that gives us a chance. We need to do our part in terms of winning the game, and then we need to see where the chips fall in terms of the help that we need from the outside. But most importantly, the performance from us in terms of giving our supporters, our fans, we know it's not been an easy year for them. And so giving them hopefully a nice victory over a team where, again, as you mentioned, it's it's a bit of a heated game. It tends to be. But, giving them a glimmer in terms of an insight of where this team can be.
Brad, go ahead.
You go ahead.
But there's been a lot of changes in the organization, and as a United fan, there's only one constant since year one. I know you came in a few games in year one, but it's you. You're the only constant that has stayed 100% the same, and you're one of the leaders of the organization, especially when it comes to the team. How's that been for you with all the changes and some of the difficult circumstances that have arisen from the on and off the field?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think first and foremost, it's an honor to be able to represent this club, represent this city, and my family and I, we've taken to Atlanta, and Atlanta is home. We love it here, and so when you see those difficult moments, when you see the change, the thing about professional sports is everybody can be replaced, and it's only a matter of time, and that's just the nature of the business, and that's okay. You have to be okay with it, but at the same time, you've got to be able to adapt. You've got to be able to change and continue to grow as an individual, but also as a group and as an organization, right? And so, to be able to represent this club in this city, being there from day one, from year one, like I said, there's been more probably difficult days than good days. But as I was just saying to somebody inside, you want to see the club get back to those good days. You want to see the bends full. You want to see the support. You want to see the hype and the hysteria around the club. And I don't think those days are too far off. And so that part certainly brings a smile to my face and makes me excited.
I also want to congratulate you. Named the inaugural media ambassador. So presented by Gallagher.
That's why I'm here with you guys.
Media savvy.
Congratulations.
What did it mean to win that award?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's you talk about professional sports and what comes with professional sports, and the media is a huge part of it, right? And good or bad, and obviously it's your guys' jobs to be able to talk about us as individuals, talk about us as a club, as a team. Again, good or bad, and it's our job to hopefully give you guys more good things to talk about. And without the media, the size of the club, the notoriety of the club, it wouldn't be there. And so to have the media coverage that we do have at Atlanta United, we're lucky because I know certainly not every MLS team has that coverage. And I would argue even some other teams in other sports.
I want to talk about your role kind of as a leader on this team, because I messed up and asked Kate Wiley about this, and he's like, dude, I'm 18. So the question was, like, and this was back after you guys signed Yorgos, but obviously there's been turnover. Alexi's come in, Saba's come in, Your role as a leader, just in welcoming those guys in, because not only are they moving teams, they're moving countries a lot of the time, but you're obviously familiar with Atlanta. You've been around. I asked Caleb, I was like, do you take Yorgos to, like, Waffle House? And he's like, dude, those guys, like, he's got a family. He's like, no, I'm 18 years old. But you're obviously a little bit longer in the tooth than Caleb. So what's your role in those kind of circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the club does a really good job of helping those guys get settled, their families get settled. Like you said, it's not about just coming to a new team. You're coming to a new country, right, a new culture, trying to figure things out. You know, obviously, when you talk about the United States around the world, there's a certain perception, right, of Americans and whatnot. And so now these guys are coming here and they're trying to find their feet and figure it out. And so you try to help them as best you can, give them recommendations, whether it's schooling, whether it's daycare, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, restaurants or things like this, right? Different areas.
Neighborhoods.
Where they want to live. Where do you, you know, how long is it going to take to get to training, get to the stadium, those types of things. And then on top of it, you know, you want their extended family, their wives, their girlfriends, their kids. You want them to feel comfortable because you're only training for so many hours in the morning, right? And then you go home. But if you go home to a house where your wife or your girlfriend, they're not settled, they're not happy, it's going to make training the next day that much more difficult. And so you want to try and help the entire party that has now become part of the Atlanta United family.
See, everyone comes to you for advice. He said you were long in the tooth. And look, I just want to tell you.
But more look, so look, than a guy look, like
go,
Caleb
No,
Riley.
Because, look, I played in the Atlanta United media match. I won the MVP.
Okay, no
I lost
big deal.
Lost a toenail.
No big deal.
Lost
say it louder
toenail,
for the people
you know,
in the back.
But I turned 40 this week. And I know your birthday is just basically a month. Almost a month today. I turned 10-10. You were September 9th.
Yep.
So congratulations
on
that.
Brad,
happy birthday.
Do not buy into this. Okay. I turned 40 last year, and she called me old every chance she got. So suddenly now she doesn't think it's so old.
Now 40's I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I only believe this side of the table.
You could come on anytime.
You know what?
I just had to let him know. You know, we're still competing at high levels.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
So, Brad, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Get him straight, Jay, man.
Thanks, Brad.
I'm going to need to. I'm going to need that.
Brad Kazan, Atlanta United goalkeeper.
Real quick, this segment is brought to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce, Bigger, Better, Bolder. Also, New Realm Brewing Company, the official craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics.
We're going to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.